Okay, now I want to talk about Job 1:21. In particular, the beginning of this verse says, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." That has come to have some very, very, very significant meaning in my life, and I want to share it with you. This is what's been going on. The Lord, whom I've since been exposed to and interacted with since I opened my third eye, has started interpreting some of my prayers in ways in which he can show me that he can control me. It's genius. So I've been losing a lot of stuff at his bequest, you know, because he wanted me to either throw something out because he thought it was inconsistent with my faith, so I had to get rid of it. Or maybe I bought it with money I wasn't supposed to have and he wanted me to throw it away for that. My house is a little empty right now, let's put it that way. So I'm going to go down to the store. You're going to go with me. I guess we're going to talk on the way. I'm going to try to stay focused and give you guys a piece of my mind about this, because heads up, this can get serious. When you start getting this close to the Lord, let me tell you, it can get really, really serious, really, really fast. One of the things I've learned about them is they've got a temper so hard, so fast, so big, that it will terrorize you in seconds. And let me tell you this, not only that, they know what you're going to say before you even say it. You know, like it says in the Bible, you know how that really works? Because you have to think it to yourself without words before you say it. Now, here's how it goes. So you come out with it in your mouth, right? And you think that's the only place it went, was out of your mouth. You just said it and out of your mouth. That's what happened, right? No, that's not how it goes. Let me tell you something. What really happens is before it comes out of your mouth, it comes out of your head. Yep. And it comes out of your crown chakra and it heads straight for heaven. It's so fast, it's instantaneous. And it's true. It's really true. They know what you're going to say before you say it. And that can be a hilarious thing when you think about it, because they already know you're going to curse them before you do. From what I've experienced, you got to get going pretty fast. Kind of the way I'm talking right now, to even get close to the speed at which they like to interact. So all of us are going in slow-mo in comparison to them. Like, they get bored, because if you don't go fast enough, they want to know what's going on in your head. Like, what's wrong with this guy's tinker? And so I learned to speed up my cadence, and I learned to come from other directions so they didn't really know what direction I was coming from, in order to efficate some element of surprise. Because when folks can know what you're going to say before you even say it, you got to be impromptu and off the cuff to even give them any measure of, we'll say, the kind of information delivery that they want to get. Okay, if you practice what you're going to say before you say it, then they're already going to know what you're going to say. And for them, it's just like a rehash, like a redo, like they've already been to the performance and now they're just at the rehearsal. You know, that's the way they look at it. But if you're going to do it off the cuff and you're not, then you can't think about it beforehand. You just got to say, okay, this is the topic and this is what we're going to do. So today we're talking about Job 1:21 and how this impacted my life. I got to get in the truck. So, it's a big truck. I step up, not down. And I love the truck. It's pretty cool. We're going to go up to the store and see if we can get in. I don't have a shirt, but I put one in the truck just for this problem. And so we're going to put it on before we go in the store. So what I was talking about, before I got sidetracked, about how fast they can receive our messages, is Job 1:21. And it says, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." The rest of the verse is, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." So this is the prayer, because of these things that I've had to throw out of my life in deference to his desires, I have begun earnestly praying that prayer as my prayer over the course of a couple of days in order to illustrate to him with his own word
what was going on with me so that I could stay away from, you know, credibility issues. You know what I mean? I figure if I gave him his own word back, he'd have to listen to it. But if I gave him my word, well, what does he care about that? I'm just a human. I'm a worm inside of a body. I mean, you know, what would he care about that? But if I took his word, then maybe I could get somewhere. You know what I mean? So that's what I did. So I started praying this prayer. And the next thing you know, the craziest thing happened. He started treating me like I'm in Job, right? Of course, now don't get me wrong. He's been doing that for a couple of years. And I never got restored. I forgot about getting restored because this is how he works. He's done this many, many times. He'll take something away and then negotiate to give it back to me. What do you think about that? Uh-huh. See? He says, the good Lord, it doesn't say the good, but I like to say that anyways. So it says, the good Lord taketh away and the good Lord giveth. Right? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because if you're going to bless him, you may as well call him good. Right? You want to believe that he's good, right? Or is he being good in that particular moment? And you know what you're saying when you say, blessed be the name of the Lord, in that particular instance? You're telling him that you agree that it's okay for him to give and to take. So, as soon as you do that, you know what? You don't even have to do it. When you're getting jobbed, you're already getting it. All you got to do is read the story and you'll figure out what he's doing to you. Because, you know, one thing I figured out about God, he has a hard time changing his ways. So there's a pretty good chance that if there's a dealio that you're having a problem with, you can still find it in the book. Okay? He hasn't changed so much that the book is irrelevant. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's not some tuxedo wearing, purple tie, you know, 4 foot high afro with a bullet in his mouth. You know, it's not him. So, he's still conservative, he still wears a robe, looks like a toga, I don't know, it looks like one to me, it's not quite, it's kind of cool, got a gold or a yellow rope around his waist, some short tassels. He's a really dapper looking guy, but look, let me tell you what he's doing to me. So, he takes away something that I already got, right? Everybody in the world gets a good night's sleep. Well, I mean, you know, they expect, like, for instance, the air to stay on all night, or maybe the ceiling fan twirls above their head, or maybe the little fan gives them a little noise so they can get to sleep, you know? They got a nice cushy bed, because, I mean, after all, after you get so many years old, you're going to blow your wad on a good bed, you know what I mean? So, because we all want a good night's sleep. But here's what he did to me. He started blocking the air conditioner. And then after I woke up, something else would happen that would really make me mad. But the thing that made me mad was I would wake up drenched in sweat, right? And the reason he was doing that is because I've had a real problem cursing him and cursing at him and cursing while I talk to him and getting mad at him and cursing at anybody. And at one time I cursed at everybody. Now I only curse at him. And he's proud of me for that, but he's still irritated at me like you would not believe, because I still give it to him. You know, I give it to him like he's my real dad. You know, I don't mess around with him. I keep it real. And that's why I don't like when he betrays me, at least from my human, you know, peon existence. That's the way I look at it. Because, I mean, listen, if I came over to your house and I stole your car and I called you up and I says, all right, I'm going to give you your car back, but you got to do what I say. What is that? Really? So the way I'm going to get control over you is I'm going to take something away and then I'm going to tell you, okay, you got to do this and you can have it back. See, because that's what he's doing to me. You want a good night's sleep? No. I don't get to have that. See, that's how he's taking it away from me. And that stresses me out. I don't get enough rest. I don't get enough of everything. I wind up taking naps during the day because part of this deal that he works with me on is in the middle of the night, which drives me bananas. It does. I can't tell you how many times I've been irritated by this. And it's not the first time, right? So, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm like any human, you know? I'm tolerating it. It's happening and it's coming and it happens all the time and it's been going on for years. And I never know when it's going to happen. It could happen when they're mad at me. It could happen when they're nice to me. It could happen when they're glad with me. They could congratulate me and say, well done, and tell me to go to sleep and then turn off the air. And it's terrible, okay? So I wake up drenched. I got to wash the sheets. I got to wash the comforter. I got to dry them. It's uncomfortable. I don't want the sheets to smell. So I think it's annoying, you know, that I have to sweat in my bed over time and again and again. I feel like it's a betrayal, right? Because here's the thing. Instead of giving me something like a blessing, which is how I thought he meant it, and then because I didn't increase, you know, in my spiritual growth towards him, he takes it away, right? Wouldn't you think that's what he means? Like, he's going to bless you first. He's going to give it to you. And then if you can't handle it, or for some reason you're not qualified to keep it, or you're goofing up and you don't deserve to have it and somebody else does, then he's going to take it away, right? And he's going to give it to somebody else that deserves it, right? Don't you see all those examples in the Bible where he did that, right? Where he took it away and he gave it to somebody else. That's how it works, right? So instead, and this is crazy, because I didn't think that's what it meant, because all the other examples in the Bible are he takes something away from people who didn't deserve it because they're heathens and they're acting terrible and they're sinning against God, or they don't know God and they don't know anything, I don't know. And he tells these other folks he really loves, hey, go take their stuff. They don't deserve it. You know what I mean? So he takes and he gives. And so I read that in Job and I'm thinking, all right, cool. He gives you a bunch of stuff. Like Job had all this stuff, right? Job had all this stuff. It was great. He took it all away, right? And at his pleasure, he gave it all back, right? But he doesn't have to give it all back. See, there's the kicker. He could leave you and take it away and forget about it land. Yeah, how about that? He was nice to Job, but does he have to be nice to everybody? Nah. Yeah, no. If you're not a Job, you know, if you're not this guy who's so terrified that you better not ever, ever, ever say anything inappropriate, then you're probably not. Because, I mean, I didn't, and it got me nowhere. I'm as far as I know, I've been in it longer than he was, and it's rotten. I mean, they'll let you go to your basic needs, but for a guy who used to weigh 180 pounds, I'm down to 154. And this is for a guy who fasts for them. So what they're doing to me anyways, is instead of giving me something and then taking it away, which they've done many times. They had me go buy a brand new rug, then they had me throw it away. They had me go buy another one, then they had me throw it away. Okay, so they play this game like it's going out of style. I've lost half my stuff with this nonsense. So now, since I don't have any more stuff to lose, they're taking away my sleep and telling me, okay, we're gonna take that away. And if you do what we say, we'll give it back to you. And now I'm looking at it like, you know, this is a real Jones, because I wouldn't even treat my cat this way. Would you? I mean, would you take away his toy? Would you? Would you take away his toy because he bugged you to, you know, give him some food at 3 a.m.? Oh, I'm going to show you, you little kissy pussy cat. I'm going to take away your toy. How about that? Ha, 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 ha. Are you really going to get off taking away your little pussy cat's toy? I mean, good grief. Really? Are you going to be that juvenile about it? I mean, okay, does he know it's 3 a.m.? What's more important, your cat or you getting a whole night's sleep? Come on, really. What's more important? All right? So he takes away my sleep, and then he tells me, well, you're going to have to do this, that, or the other thing in order to get it back. And here's the thing. I'll think that we're all made up and everything's cool, and then he does it anyways. And this has been going on for so long, I don't even know what to think anymore. Because it's like me going over to my neighbor and stealing something of his and telling him, okay, if you want to get along with me and you want your thing back, you got to do what I say. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba. Man, is that not like manipulation and control? I mean, is that crafty? I mean, can you see this coming? I mean, good grief. And so it's so foreign to me because, you know, it's not the way I treat other people. I just don't deal with it. You know what I mean? I really don't deal with it. I mean, if this were anybody else, I would shut them down and send them packing. I mean, they would have to have a bus ticket to get back. And they better have a better attitude when they get here, you know what I mean? But no, not these guys. It just keeps going on and on, and I'm out of my wits. I don't know what to do. But that's my segment, and I'll see you next time. All right, I'm back for a wrap-up on Job 121. You know, the thing about that is, It seems to depend on your maturity level. Whatever maturity level you bring to the table, they're going to match and go even farther. So it gets a little dysfunctional because, excuse me, I have a retarded truck that insists that I put my seatbelt on while I'm parked. I have to buckle it, and it's so dumb that if I just unbuckle it as soon as I put it in, it never beeps again. But it's a pain just to put it on so it can stop beeping. So I realized that one of the things about these guys is that if you give them a bad attitude, they're going to give it back to you. And then they're going to show you that their attitude can be worse than yours. And they have a lot more power than you. One day I got into it with the Lord, and he was pretending to be his grandson. Because sometimes he'll take on a new persona in order to effect different outcomes, to see what I'll say about this or that, so that way, you know, he'll see whether I respect that position and that supposition. And of course, it's all supposition because all of it is fictitious in terms of its presentments. Everything, every situation is made up for info and, you know, for informative purposes, educational purposes, and I think for their entertainment personally, because they do get a hoot out of a lot of these things. They do. They laugh it up. But they also do a lot of other things. You know, they have pride, and then there's camaraderie. But, you know, there's also a lot of opposition. I mean, it's almost like being in a family where if you get them riled up, now everybody's fighting, sort of thing, you know. And that's the way they'll play it, you know. So I've gotten to the extent where as low as I'll go, they'll go that low and below. So no matter how low you want to go, they're going to get to that low and go below. And they're going to show you that they can go below until the day they strike you with lightning, because they nearly did it to me. And it was no little bolt that you would have walked away from. This puppy took out a big chunk of a nice pine tree. I mean, 5 feet from where I was on my bicycle. And here I was on a metal object. I mean, I had every right to be dead right now. He had just cursed me twice, and I cursed him back. I was so mad, and he unleashed his anger. And if it weren't for some really special circumstances, I wouldn't be here today. So if you want to sit there and curse God, you will eventually piss him off, and he will eventually unleash his wrath on you. And you ain't gonna like it, because when God gets pissed, shit happens. I mean, shit happens. Your life will be a disaster. A disaster. And he can do this at the flick of the switch, and he leaves it up to you. And that's what really makes me mad. Because if I'm immature and I'm cursing the Lord like I sometimes do when he really makes me feel betrayed and like he didn't keep his word because he wants me to be able to deal with people who didn't keep their word without, you know, putting a garrote around their neck and pulling vigorously in opposite directions, you know, that kind of stuff. And I get it, but I trust him more than that. But that's just, it just hurts, you know what I mean? And when it hurts, I flip it and I give it back. And before I know what I'm doing, I've already opened my mouth, stuck my foot in it, swallowed the whole thing. I'm working on the second foot. You know what I mean? So the point of the matter is, you know, if you're going to get immature with the Lord, he's going to show you what it looks like from his perspective and treat you the same way. And the reason he's going to do that is because he wants you to see how it feels, so you don't do it to him anymore. You know, I got to hand it to him. I do the same thing, and I didn't even get it from him. So I got to figure this one out, because as long as I keep giving it to him, he's going to keep giving it back to me. But then I try, you know what I mean? I really do. I try not to give it to him, and he doesn't care. He gives me another one, and then he'll hit me, and he's like, oh, look, he's taking it. Let's see what he can handle. And next thing you know, I'm KO'd on the concrete, you know what I mean? I never win. I mean, sometimes I'll pull one out of my hat, you know? I'll be going really fast, and I'll come off the cuff, and I'll be able to pull it out of my hat. But by and large, it doesn't happen very often. It's hard to get one on the Lord. You know, he's fast, and he can see what you're saying before you even say. And that's kind of hard. It's tricky, too, because you got to tell him a joke on the cuff. If you're already telling him a joke, he's already heard, and he's already heard it once, he already heard it. It's hard, but you can do it. You can do it in spontaneity, so he didn't see it coming. So he likes jokes to go all over the place. the punchlines that had nothing that meant one thing, but seemed like they meant another. That kind of stuff. He likes that. He's actually all right. The Lord is awesome, but he picks these things to pick on me with that drive me crazy. I mean, they drive me crazy. How would you like it if you woke up drenched in sweat and you had a boner that you got from an angel because he wanted to see if you were going to play with it? Because he doesn't like you playing with it. He hates that stuff. And he thinks that you should be playing with your boner. Because I don't play with my boner. Do you play with your boner? Look, that's your business, right? I don't really care what you do with it. But I don't want to play with mine. So you know what he tells me? I'm concerned about your boner, Sam. And I want to see you play with it now and then. You know what I told him? I says, I ain't doing nothing in this kind of deal because I got no privacy. What do you want to do? Hear me go, man, that was great. Really? Hey, man, you can't even turn off that because once your third eye opens, you can't do it. Can't do it. You can't shut it down. Now, you think you have privacy. You don't. You have the illusion of privacy because you're not thinking about spiritual ways. You're not thinking about, well, gee, is my mind actually a projector that projects all its thoughts all the time out of without my control? Because I'm here to tell you that it does. It does. You're a transmitter. You transmit information out of your head every time you have a thought. And it's even better than that. If you don't even have to have a thought. You can have a thoughtless thought. And what I mean is you can have a wordless thought. And what I mean by that is you can merely have an intent. And that intent is quick. Bam. And it's encapsulating a whole concept that will take you. By the time it comes out of your lips, it's already gone to heaven. They already got it. They listen to your intent most of the time. If you're going on like I do, they'll listen to your words. But by and large, they already know your intent before you open your mouth, just like it says in the Bible. That's how they do it. Because the thought process transfer is instantaneous. It's even faster than that. I mean, light speed, that's a turtle compared to the hair on this one. I mean, it really is. He's demonstrated it to me, and it's really super cool. But it is kind of scary, you know, because they see you coming. Every angle you're going to come from, ba-da-ba-da-bop. Ah, yeah, look at that slowpoke. Hey, could you read a little faster? You know, we do think pretty quick up here. You know, that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm doing. Job 121. It's driving me crazy. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But here's the deal. I don't like the other half of the script. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because that's me. Here's what happens. When you bless something, you're saying, I agree with it. That I give it my blessing. That I allow and I endorse this matter henceforth. That's what you're doing. You're pledging your good wishes toward this action of another, right? So when you bless somebody, be careful who you bless. Because what you're saying is that I'm in agreement with you and I'm going to bless you because I think you are a great person. Okay? And I love what you're doing. I bless you. That's cool. But you don't want to give your blessings away to people that are doing bad things, because then you're saying that you're in agreement with that and God's going to take note of that and he's going to think you're one of the bad guys just for agreeing with that. You see what I mean? So you can't do that. But you can bless people that you want to endorse that are doing good things. That's an okay thing. You can bless your preacher. You can bless yourself. You can bless your dog. You know, you can bless anything. You can bless your food if you want as it's growing because you love your food, right? And you're in agreement with the growing, right? So that's all it means. So when the Lord blesses you, it's because you're doing the right thing. And that's why I don't get any blessings, because I don't do the right thing. But see, here's the reason why I don't get any blessings for not doing the right thing, is because he takes the thing away from me so much that I got nothing to lose either way. You know, it's sort of one of them cliffhangers. I don't know which way it's going to go. Is he going to go off the cliff or come back down? I don't know. I run up to the edge. I got my glider backpack. I'm ready to fly. And I look around, I come down. You know what I mean? I get hyped up and I'm ready to go. And then I see the futility of the, you know, the tone that I'm speaking with, the words that I'm using. I realize this is not the way I want to live my life. It's not the way I like to conduct myself. I don't like ranting. I don't like raving. I don't like cursing. I certainly don't like doing it with him. But he hits me in ways that I can't get away from. I mean, you know, for instance, he wants me to quit smoking pot. But this is the thing. If I want to quit smoking pot, because I turn to pot to not stress out, right? So if I'm going to quit smoking pot, you would think, maybe I ought to chill out on the stress a little bit so that I can have some room for me to be able to quit it, right? That's what cigarette smokers, everybody. So that's the problem. He wants me to do it, but then he stresses me out and I can't get away from it, and it runs, and it makes me run right back to it to handle his business. Because he stresses me out, and then I turn to the pot, and then he gets mad at me about the pot, and he stresses me out. And so we're in this circular merry-go-round business that I don't know if it's just because he's only doing that because that's my level of understanding, and I must be a little child because we're playing merry-go-round games, or I can't get my finger on it. But right now, we're in this little spiral dance where I get nothing, and he gets nothing, and we banter back and forth like a game of badminton with a morality mitten, you know, whatever you call that stupid thing that goes between the two paddles in a game of badminton. I mean, is that the badminton? Look, I don't even know. I don't care. It's been a long time. All right, that's up for this segment. I'll be back.